welcome to Nutrition Genius Radio. I'm your host, Laura, the Sassy Dietitian, along with my good nutrition genius friend, Marie, aka Pearl. And we're here to explain why coconut oil is better, bacon is the king of the world, and butter and garlic will bring about world peace. Disclaimer, the views on this podcast are not meant to be substituted for medical advice, but are for general information only. Let's dive in.
Hey, girl, hey.
What's shaking, bacon?
I don't know. What's going on? I'm so excited to hear what's going on in your life.
Oh, in my life. Yeah. Where do I start? Well, we just went to Traverse, which is a horse race in Saratoga this past weekend. If you ever want good people watching, go to Saratoga Springs, New York.
I went there last year. It was fun.
Oh, it was so fun. I made bacon wrapped dates, which if anyone of you know me, you know that I love bacon. That. Oh, they were so good. Everyone's like around us is eating Doritos. And I'm like, oh, here are my bacon wrapped dates. I don't know where that that voice came from.
That was totally a snobby horse show move of you. And I love it.
Oh, I was totally wearing a floppy hat. Yep.
Oh, good.
The floppy hat. I didn't have any like embellishment on it, though. So next year I'm going to go like to Michael's and just like build it up and be obnoxious because I can.
Nice.
I mean, you know, when you're married, it's like, eh, do I have to try anymore? Nah. And then my other thing is which might turn into a rant, and I'm sorry for all of our listeners, but did you notice that the pumpkin spice lattes are back at Starbucks, and it's August 27th?
Oh,
dun,
okay.
Dun, dun.
I am all about fall foods.
Oh, me so, too.
But
here's my rant. First off, we haven't reached fall yet, okay? So why are we marketing all these things? Why are there Halloween candy in the store? Really? Come on.
Why is Halloween candy a thing?
What? Why? First off, stop giving your kids candy. Second of all, why is it already in the stores? It is August 27th when we're recording this. Obviously, it'll probably actually be September when you guys hear this, so that'll be awkward. But still, that makes me so angry. Second off, it's like a chemical storm. I'm leaving out the bad word because I don't want us to be explicit, but it's a chemical storm, okay? And there's so much sugar in it, it just makes me so angry. I'm like, do you guys even know what that's doing to you? Do you have any idea? Go back to our carb show.
Oh my gosh. I actually think that I saw a thing on Instagram that was like, what are the actual components of...
On my Facebook yesterday, I put, that was August 26th, I put like that, it's like a pictogram, and it basically shows what's in it, and it's disgusting.
Apparently that's where I saw it then.
Oh yeah, everyone saw it. I think to this date, on my Facebook page, like I just kind of put it up because it got me like really riled up. I think I had the most interaction and the most reach out of any post I've ever posted. So apparently everybody likes their pumpkin spice latte and wanted to know more about it. So good news, I'm posting a recipe in the near future for your pumpkin spice latte that you can make at home.
I love it.
Right? It's so easy, right?
It is. And I one up on my blog of like how to make just plain coffee that's pumpkin flavored too.
Yeah, so if you don't need the cream, don't want the latte of it, go to Marie's blog at pearlsofnutrition.com.
And if you want to add links to both of those articles in the show notes.
Oh yeah, yeah, we'll do that. We'll tell our secretary. I'm just hoping that one day that's a thing.
same girl.
Until now, I'm going to have to put that in my head with the 5 million other things that are flying through it.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I'll tell our secretary.
If anyone wants to do that for free, just let us know.
Yeah, right.
I've got a lot of thoughts going on every second
of
every day.
Dietitians, I feel like for an aspiring nutrition student,
actually,
it would be a pretty good gig. We're two RDs.
We are RDs, if anyone was questioning that. We actually do know a thing or two about nutrition.
We have credentials behind our, beyond just the credential of a nutrition genius, which I don't know why you would need anything more than that.
And being Pearl and sassy, I mean, what's not professional about that?
Yes.
Anyway, so that's what's going on in Lara Land. What's going on in Pearltopia? Got it.
Yeah. Pearltopia is, I'm going to the Thousand Islands with my family this weekend, for a little extended, you know, Labor Day break. Nice. So I'm pretty excited about that because, you know, I'm just hang out on the boat all day, chill.
In the pontoon.
Don't quit your day job.
Oh gosh. I have a friend
No.
who used to think that she was good enough to be on an American Idol, and one day I had to tell her, I was like, "You're really not that good."
Oh no.
Shout out to
How did
Sarah
that
if she's
go over?
listening. She's not listening. But if she were to listen, she'd kill me, but hilarious.
Oh
I was like, "Girlfriend, I love you, and I love singing in the car with you, but there's no shot."
did she like truly believe that she
I think by that point, her mom had probably told her, but no, she literally legitimately thought. Literally, legitimately. Is that even a phrase?
it is.
Okay, perfect. She literally legitimately thought she could go on American Idol. Can I tell you that my new favorite phrase is, I'm picking up what you're putting down because I got it right last week. And so now I'm just like, yeah, picking up what you're putting down. I'm like, I got that. Anyway, sorry. Anything else going on in Pearltopia?
No, I don't think so. Not
Cool.
anything exciting. Apparently yesterday was National Dog Day.
Oh, I saw that. Kata looked so cute in her
Didn't
bandana.
she? Oh my God. So the funny thing is that picture was actually from like 2 years ago, but it
Oh.
was just so cute. I wanted to post it.
There's nothing wrong with being a proud dog mama.
Except, did you see the tag I put in? It was creepy dog mom instead.
That's awesome. No, I didn't see that. Creepy dog mom. I
I don't know. I'm
mean, I
just
can see
weirdly
it.
obsessed.
It's fine.
It's, you know, my whole goal in life is to be a creepy pet lady.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
Oh,
that.
bring all the nature inside. Speaking of all the nature, oh my God.
Oh, God.
So I listened to this podcast by my homeboy, shout out Daniel Vitalis.
He should come on the show.
We're definitely going to add links into his website, but this guy Daniel Vitalis is he has this whole concept of rewilding yourself. So he his ideas are basically that what humans the environment that humans are now living in is essentially like a domestication. So we're not like Homo sapiens anymore. We're the domesticated form of Homo sapiens. So his whole concept is how to become more attuned with like nature and like normal like sleep wake cycles based on like light and essentially how to get back to that pre-domesticated state. Super interesting. Like has a lot of really good stuff to say. But so I was listening to this podcast from him and it was about entomophagy, which is
Say
the
what?
entomophagy. It's about eating insects, like utilizing insects as a source of nutrition. So it was, I know, it's crazy. It sounds crazy. It was so interesting though. And it's like such a normal thing in like all of these other cultures in the world. It's totally normal. Like people do it in like before everyone became, you know, like the whole agricultural revolution came about, like it was totally normal. And then these quote unquote civilized nations would come into these places and be like, oh my gosh, people are eating bugs. They must be starving. Well, no, they're actually like super nutritious. So it was
Aren't they
just
really
really
high in
interesting.
protein?
Yeah, they're really high in protein, omega-3s too, and fiber. It's like one of the, it's the,
Huh.
actually, I think the only like protein source that is high in fiber.
That's interesting.
I know it was so interesting, which we'll add a link to it in
Yeah.
the show notes.
I'll have to
But
listen to that.
so it's just, you know how I have my leopard spotted gecko, right? And I have the crickets in there. So it's so funny because ever since listening to that, I'm like looking at the crickets differently. Like,
No.
I know.
Oh God, so Marie's gonna be eating crickets on the show next week, is what she's saying. I was actually gonna say there is like a bar company out there who's using crickets and basically grinding them down into flour and then making bars out of cricket flour,
Yes,
which I thought was
so
very interesting.
that was one of the things that they talked about was how they were, you know, like for most people, when you say like, oh, I'm gonna eat insects or I'm gonna eat bugs or crickets or whatever, people are gonna have like a very the exact same reaction that you had, like, no, crazy, I'm not doing that. But if you're like, oh, it's just flour and it's made into a bar, not it
Right.
doesn't seem so bad, right? So one of the thing that I found most interesting about the whole topic is the fact that utilizing insects as a protein source has the ability to decrease the resources that are used to raise protein. So, you can feed a larger amount of people, and because of the expanding population, and because of the fact that there's people in other countries that are starving
Right.
right now. So, they were kind of talking about how, like, there's a lot going on to teach, like, these indigenous populations about how to utilize the protein sources that they actually do have available.
It's
So, it was
fun.
like all about preventing world hunger.
Well, yeah. I think it's
Which I'm
I was thinking about this last night. It's probably because you sent me an article from National. No, you didn't send it. You posted an article on National Geographic, and I was reading it. I was fascinated by it because it's kind of crazy how there's all this food around us, and we don't know what to do with it. Like, JJ and I shamelessly
I think
watch.
this is such a segue, or not a, like
Kind
a,
of. It's perfect for what we're going to talk to you about today.
so our topic today is normal eating. So I think it's good to go a bit like backwards and kind of see what did normal eating used to be.
Yeah, 'cause well, before we dive too deep, we watch Naked and Afraid on the Discovery Channel. We pretty much only watch the Discovery Channel. It's like all we watch these days.
I love that about you.
And it's kind of crazy. I'm like, I always watch these people and I'm like, I couldn't survive purely because I don't know what can be eaten. Like, I would look at a plant and I'd say, I don't know if that's poisonous. I don't know if that's going to kill me. Like, I know that water has to be boiled and that's pretty much it. I know that if I found like a dead bird, I shouldn't eat it. But if an insect came crawling on me, I wouldn't know if it's like poisonous or not. So I'm like, I don't know, I find it fascinating, and I'm like, I feel like this is something we should know. Like, I'm not about to like be all, what are those people that survivalists, but I feel like it is good to know like
Oh,
what we
dude, I'm
can
totally getting into it. It all started with my obsession with Daniel Vitalis.
eat.
It was back. It was actually back when I was working at Albany Med, and I'm pretty sure I told you about it when I first heard a podcast from him.
I
But
want to say it was one of those like summits.
yes, it was.
And I don't think I heard it. I remember you talking about it though, and you were
Well,
like
lucky for
obsessed.
you, I have it saved and I can send it to you.
Oh, yes.
So,
Jackpot.
yeah. The thing that I really like about him is I think a lot of times someone who is in his position or holds his beliefs will have like a very sensational idea of what real living should be, and then they go out and try to disseminate this information to the general population, and everyone's like, "No, bro, I'm not gonna go live in a grass hut and eat insects and do, you know." So what I really liked about him is that he was very good at giving practical ways of how to quote unquote rewild yourself. So things like when you pump gas, put gloves on, or you know how when you're looking in, oh, like you're looking at the light streaming through a window and there's those like dust particles there. That's
Yeah.
not just in that one stream. That's the way your entire living space
Right,
looks like.
which is kind of gross to think
So,
about.
right. So you're breathing that in. Like that's going into your lungs and then your body has to do extra work to like get that out. Laura's now got her t-shirt over her nose trying
I'm
to
good
like
now.
breathe.
I'm good now. Can everyone hear me?
Now you're breathing in GMO cotton, so
Ah! Nothing's safe anymore.
I know, it's so crazy. But so like one of his other suggestions was like get a HEPA air filter. And he said, you know, you can even get like a small one and move it from room to room. So I just felt like the recommendations that he had were all very realistic. So I really liked that about him.
I'm taking notes,
But I
by the
also
way.
just really liked what he was preaching, like, you know, just getting back to the way things used to be before we were this domestic species.
Oh man, I just wrote
I
down
know
HEPA air filter because I'm going to tell JJ about it.
it's tell him you need one.
I'm going to be like, I'm breathing in really bad things. Marie told me so. I want to be breathing clean air. Honestly, though, I feel like you can tell the difference because when we went, and I'm sure you'll relate to this, when we were in, I mean, Yosemite kind of, but when we were in South Lake Tahoe, I really don't think I've ever breathed cleaner air. And it's hard to describe because I don't think it's super apparent, but just like we were on the top of the mountain that we climbed for an hour and we didn't want to leave because we kind of felt so good. We're up there and we're like, first off, the view was gorgeous, but second off, it was like, I've never really breathed that clean of air.
Right. And he said that even a lot of times people will be like, bro, I live in,
Pro.
bro, I live in LA. You know, like the air out here is not, it's not safe. It's full of pollutants, blah, blah, blah. But he had a great point where, like, if you think about it, so yeah, the air outside might be full of all of those pollutants, but at least it's moving. And, you know, it does have some interaction with, like, outside in nature. Whereas the air in your house is just stagnant. Essentially, if you don't have any movement in. So he was like all about opening your windows all the time.
I'm
I
gonna open
know.
my windows when we're done.
I know.
I
I
do
like
love
that.
open air windows, except it's supposed to be like 90 degrees again here.
Oh. All right, so we've gotten very tangential and we need to get back to
Story of our life. The topic of the day. Dun,
the
dun, 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 dun.
day. Is
Hope
that
you guys
even
are
how
loving
our
that.
intro song goes?
That's kind of how our intro song goes. So today we are going to talk about stress-free eating. And normal eating, however you want to look at it. So we're going to first talk about actually an article that Marie sent me from Michael Pollan. So if any of you have ever read like Omnivore's Dilemma or Cooked or what else has he written? I think he wrote not Food Rules, but it was something to
Yeah,
that
no, he
extent.
did. He wrote another one called Food Rules. It's Food Rules and Eater's Manual, which is kind of similar, I think, to Kate Shanahan's Food
Yes.
Rules, but Kate Shanahan is more of the grocery store guide. He wrote In Defense of Food,
Oh, there you go, that one.
The Omnivore's Dilemma, A Natural History of Four Meals, and The Botany of Desire.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So this
It's okay. I have it up in front of me.
Oh, I was like, man, you're good. I think I've only really read fully Omnivore's Dilemma. I think the other ones I've kind of skimmed for classes and such. But so this
I just
article,
bought Cooked.
oh yeah, you have to let me know how it
Yeah.
is.
I haven't started it yet, but I will.
Well, get on it. I need to know how it is.
I'm sorry. I just have so many things to read. There's so much content.
Oh, God, so much nerding out to do to become a
I know.
nutrition genius. So anyway, this article is titled Our National Eating Disorder. So maybe Marie, you want to kind of summarize it for our listeners, and we'll put a, obviously a link in the show notes for you guys to read. I think it's a really great article.
Yeah, definitely worth the it's a little bit lengthy, but it's definitely worthwhile. So he kind of starts off talking about carbophobia, which I think is rampant in the US today. And if you yourself are feeling a little bit carbophobic, please feel free to meander on over to episode 3 of Nutrition Genius Radio, where we covered carbs. But he kind of talked about how before there's always going to be something that's being demonized. Like before it was fat and now it's carbs. Like what's next? Probably protein because that's our next macronutrient. Or maybe prohibition will come back and we'll ban alcohol.
Nah, I don't think we're that dumb.
So he made an excellent point in that what does a koala bear eat for dinner? Well, if it looks like a eucalyptus leaf and it smells like a eucalyptus leaf, then it's dinner. And for us, that's the question, what's for dinner, is so overwhelming almost that we're becoming paralyzed and like unsure of what to do. And we've gotten so far away from that idea of like, yeah, it's a eucalyptus leaf, so I can eat it. Like, we don't know what to do. You walk in the grocery store, there's a kajillion, and that's a very specific number, so write it down, options
It's one of my favorite
of
words.
of
Kajillion.
what you could potentially eat for dinner. So, he just kind of was talking about how because we are provided with all of these options, it's creating a dilemma and essentially like a national eating disorder because we demonize one thing and then we put something else on a pedestal and there's just basically no like no one knows what is normal eating anymore. What do we actually eat? And I think the biggest part of this whole article that I really wanted to pull out, and I'm actually going to read it. Is that legal to do? Like read a whole sentence out? We're referencing it, right?
Right, it's by Michael Pollan in Our
It's
National
called
Eating
our
Disorder. It was published in the New York Times Magazine on October 17, 2004. I think that's all we got. We will post a link to it. We're allowed to read
Okay.
it.
So it was talking about what they call the French paradox. And so the quote unquote French paradox, which the French don't actually find to be a paradox, is that they eat really high fat foods, they drink alcohol, and yet they have a lower incidence of heart disease than what Americans do. So how is that possible?
And they're
Well,
leaner.
right, yeah. So but their whole idea around eating is completely different. And so this sentence right here, it says, Americans associated food with health the most and pleasure the least. Asked what comes to mind upon hearing the phrase chocolate cake, and Americans were more apt to say guilt, while the French said celebration. Heavy cream elicited unhealthy from Americans and whipped from the French. The researchers found that Americans worry more about food and derive less pleasure from eating than the people in any other nation that they surveyed. So
That is so
we're
sad.
looking. It's so sad. And you, I mean, you guys have heard Laura and I preaching taste before. Like, absolutely. We love heavy cream.
Preach. Food should taste delicious. It should
It
not
should
taste like
taste delicious.
cardboard.
Right. So the
Can't
French,
even
their
speak.
portion sizes are small. They have long, drawn-out meal times, which they share with other people, and they don't go back for seconds. Like, they just eat what's there. And then because this eating event is so drawn out, they're just not hungry anymore because they have time for their stomach to talk to their brain.
I think I remember the first time I went to a French restaurant with my family, and this was like back in the day where chicken nuggets were God. And of course I'm sitting there, and I think it was a 7-course meal, which was the first time that ever happened in my life. You know, as a Italian, it was just like one big plate of pasta with one meatball. And and so I remember, and the plates were super tiny, and each portion was very little. And I remember like asking my parents, I'm like, I don't understand. They're like, well, it's the French way. Like to them, they had done it before, so it wasn't weird to them, but it was basically, and I think they says it in the article, it was like 15, one bite of 15 different foods versus Americans who have 15 bites of the same food. And I thought about that when I was reading this article, and I'm like, it's so true. Like, I love tasting things, and I think it is more enjoyable to try 15 different things as opposed to scarfing down one large bowl of pasta. Now, I think every once in a while, especially if you're hungry and you're an athlete, you probably do need a big meal like that. But I just don't think I don't think we enjoy taste anymore. We're eating
I
whatever is
don't even think,
healthy.
quote unquote, healthy.
Yes, exactly. Whatever your opinion or whatever someone told you is healthy is what we're trying to eat.
And to be honest with you, I don't even know that we actually taste anymore because I think about how many times, like where you're eating, you know, how many people are eating food in their car on the way to work, or how many people are eating at their desk while they're doing work, how many people are eating dinner like by themselves and then they're just scarfing it down quickly because like I was thinking about this yesterday. Like I ate actually all three this sounds so depressing, but all three meals by myself yesterday because I live with one other roommate, but we work opposite schedules. So, you know, I eat breakfast by myself and then lunch again was at work and then dinner came home, ate it by myself. So it's depressing to eat by yourself
It
and so you
is.
end up eating quicker.
Right.
So I think that's one of the points that we definitely wanted to make today is the importance on eating meals with your family or even with like another support person because,
Yeah.
and I mean, not that like you necessarily need a support person to get through your meals, but just because that's totally normal. Like, it's normal to share a meal with another person. Like, it's about, I don't know. I feel like eating used to be such a spiritual event, and it used to be like giving thanks to the world for what it has provided for you and, you know, celebrating that you had that meal in front of you. And now it's just such a given or an expectation
Right.
that I don't think that we really think about that component to it anymore. And then that loses out on the celebration and the communal aspect of eating together.
And I just don't think you end up being as satisfied because you're just eating to eat, and whether you're thinking about it or not, you're not enjoying the experience. Like Marie said, you're not. I mean, I love, like sometimes JJ will put the TV on when I'm totally calling him out, poor thing. But I don't like having the TV on. And it was always in our family growing up, the TV was never to be on when we were eating. And I love that because it gave you a time to talk about your day and just talk about what happened or, you know, talk about things that maybe didn't happen and just silly topics. Or what you're eating and just talking, and you slow down because you're chewing and you're talking and you're listening to another person and you're interacting with them and your food. And it's like, it's just a, I personally love that. And one of my favorite things is Thanksgiving. I know I said before it used to not be, but it's one of my favorite things because of that aspect. It's like a whole big family sitting down and we're all enjoying the time together. And yeah, so that was, it should be an enjoyable experience. It shouldn't be, oh, let's rush through the drive-through line.
Oh God, the drive-thru.
Yeah. Why did we come up with drive-through lines, guys? Like, that's just the worst invention
I know.
ever.
Why is that a thing?
Why is that a thing? Can we find, we should
And
research that. Why is that a thing?
because, actually, I think I know. It's because, in, I think it was World War II, when all the men were over at war, women had to start working. And then they didn't have time to prepare meals
Right,
because they
that's
were at
probably.
work. So
But still, come
I
on.
think I could be lying to you guys right now.
I did read Fast Food Nation, so I'm sure it's in there, but that was a hefty book to
Yeah.
read. You gotta
Yeah.
dedicate some time to that.
Same thing with The End of Overeating.
Oh, that's a great book.
It is a really good book. Definitely highly recommend that.
That goes more into how eating all of these highly processed, overly sweet, overly manipulated foods can actually change your brain chemistry and actually cause you to then want more of it and be unable to recognize the pure taste of, say, a carrot or a grape or liver or whatever else it is. And can I tell you that every time I ask one of my clients, and I want to say it's 9 times out of 10, I say, "Is there any food that you would never eat if I asked you to?" Liver is always, always, always the answer.
Really?
Yes. And I ask them, I'm like, "Well, have you ever had it?" And some say, "Well, I had it when I was younger and I just remember it being a rubbery texture." And I say, "Okay, well, you're an adult. You can retrain yourself." And the other people have just never tried it. It just has a stipulation in our society to be something nasty, which is really sad because it's a really
Kind of
benefit.
like crickets.
Kind of like crickets, absolutely.
Yeah, so don't hate on me and my crickets now.
I'm just imagining you like going ham on your poor geckos,
No,
crickets.
I won't do that because I don't think that they're raised in the like appropriate way, but there is a company out there that raises crickets specifically for human consumption. So if I do decide I want to partake in entomophagy,
Entomophagy. That's so much
entomophagy.
easier to say than atherosclerosis.
Atherosclerosis. I did it.
You did it! I think we say it on every episode. Atherosclerosis.
That should be
Oh,
our
that's so
thing
hard
now.
to say.
At every point in an episode. Oh, I just read, or I heard a fun fact that in every Seinfeld episode, there's a Superman.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the Superman symbol or like an actual person running around in Superman. I don't know. So that could be our thing. Like in every episode, there's the word
It is. There it is.
atherosclerosis. There's the stumble.
That's hard to seize, guys, just in case you're wondering. It's just a fancy schmancy way of saying it.
There was a point that I had on our previous conversation that I really wanted to bring up about like the when we were discussing the family meals and slowing down. It actually takes about 20 minutes for our head or our excuse me, our stomach to talk to our brain. So we have receptors in our stomach which sense like when our stomach is stretching. So when you're eating a food and your stomach begins to expand, there's a sensors that sense that, and they send messages to your brain that says, "Okay, I'm good, I'm full. I don't need to eat anymore." But it takes about 20 minutes for that communication to go through. So if you're eating a meal and you get it done in 15 minutes, your stomach didn't have time to tell your brain that you didn't need any more. So by sitting and eating and thinking like, okay, I'm gonna go about this slowly. I'm gonna chew my food like, mindfully, and then stopping eating. This is like a huge concept. Laura, when do you stop eating?
Before you're full.
Well, but if you ask most people that question, they
When they're
would
full.
say when I'm full,
Right.
or they would say when my plate's empty.
Right.
But the difference between stopping eating when you're no longer hungry versus when you're full can revolutionize your life because
Absolutely.
think about the difference in the volume of food you're taking in. Lauren, I hate the C word, but calorie.
Oh, I was like, to what C word are you referring? Yes, I hate the calorie word. I was just thinking, I was pondering in my head. There's a Asian culture, and I don't know if it's Chinese, Japanese, whatever, Indian. I'm not really quite sure, but they actually have like a way of eating where they say like fill your stomach up like 7/10 or something, or 75%. I'm totally butchering it, and you all know how I butcher every phrase. But it's to some extent like never fill your stomach up 100%, because you still want to know what it feels like to be hungry. And it's a weird way to think about it, but it's true. Like, you still want to know that you could fill it up, but there's no need to. There's no necessity to fill it up 100%. I'm not saying like cutting back, but I think it's their way of saying fill it up 70%, because you're actually probably are filling it at 100%. Your brain's just not connecting to your stomach yet. I
Right.
think that was their point, and I could be completely wrong, but I remember learning that.
That's an excellent point. I think that if you are ever in a situation, and I'm gonna go ahead and say put Thanksgiving aside because we all overeat on Thanksgiving,
We'll allow
but
it.
we'll allow
If it's
it.
real
We're
food.
Thanksgiving.
If it's real food.
Yeah, right.
None of that stuffing out of a box.
Not stuffing in a box. Oh my gosh, my mother would never. Shout out Mama Beebs. Oh, by the way, I talked to Mama Beebs yesterday.
Yep.
She subscribed to your blog.
Oh, good. You know, there was a few email addresses that I was unfamiliar with, and that's probably one of them.
That's her.
Okay. Thanks, Mama Beebs.
Mama Beebs would never make from a box stuffing. She makes delicious
Oh yeah,
stuffing
neither
because
Mama
milk.
A. We got good mamas. Shout out,
Yeah,
Mama.
we do. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
So, back on topic again. We're so bad at being on topic. Okay, so I think we've kind of decided what is stress-free eating. There's another book that I'd like to reference. It's called Mindless Eating, by Brian, is it Wansick? Wait, Wansick?
Wasink.
Wasink?
Shout out to
Okay.
another Cornell professor. What?
Oh, dang.
Oh
So
yeah.
I didn't realize he was a Cornellian. He wrote a book, this book called Mindless Eating, that it talks about how our environment really can play a role in us overeating. So this could be anything from the lighting or the music that's playing to the clock, the time of day it is. Oh my God, this was another point I wanted to make. I was thinking about this while I was getting ready this morning. Do you think that lions are out roaming the Pride Land? Is the Pride Land actually even a thing outside of The Lion King?
We'll pretend it is, because it sounds
Okay,
cool.
so lions out roaming the Pride Land, and they looked up at the sky and they said, "Huh, I think it's about 12:30. I'm gonna go kill me some food right now." No, they don't eat.
What is in your head. Lions roaming the Pride Land. No,
they
I
don't
agree.
look at the time of day it is and decide, oh yeah, I guess it's time that I should eat. They eat when they're hungry. They kill something when they physiologically have a need to consume food. And we don't even know what that is anymore. Like we don't, all we know is based around a clock. So this book is excellent in identifying what, in what cases are we eating specifically just because of our environment versus are we eating because we're actually hungry? And that's probably a question you should ask yourself. Like, am I really hungry right now? Because if the answer is no, there's another one. If you, I think you actually might have been the one that said this before, but if
Steam
you're
fish.
hungry enough, if you're hungry, like ask yourself, are you hungry? Are you hungry to eat a vegetable? If the answer is no, then you're not really hungry.
I agree. I normally say, you have to ask, sit down and ask yourself, could I eat steamed fish right now? Because most people would say no.
I love fish, so I would probably say yes.
Well, right, but I would say most of my clients, that's not their top choice. You're an anomaly. Enigma, whatever those
That's
cool
my
words
mom says.
are. But exactly, or a vegetable, or something that you would eat, but you would only eat if you were hungry. So something like if you're like, remember Katie and her Brussels sprouts? Like, that girl
Oh
would eat
my
Brussels
gosh, yeah.
sprouts no matter what time of day.
Shout out Kate. Do you think
Yeah.
she's listening?
I don't know. Hi, Katie.
Katie, we miss
We do.
you.
Come back to the East Coast.
Actually, don't.
Yeah, actually don't.
We want to be
We
able to
should move to
visit.
the Seattle.
Yeah.
So someone like her saying like, could I eat Brussels sprouts right now? It's probably not a good indication of if she's hungry, because she loves Brussels sprouts. So it has
Right.
to be something that you don't hate, something that you would avoid, but something that steamed vegetables or steamed fish or whatever it is to you that you would only eat in a hungry situation.
Right.
And that's a good gauge. And then also, just like we were talking about, when you think that you're hungry or when you're about to eat something, sit down. find a chair, somewhere to sit, turn electronics off, TV off, whatever, and really eat it and really enjoy it and make sure it tastes good.
I think that sitting down piece is really key, because it helps to slow you down and to let you actually like enjoy your food and actually taste what you're eating, as opposed to like I'm standing or I'm driving in my car. Like you shouldn't have other distractions going on, distracting you from the delicious meal in front of you
And I
of
feel like
hopefully
there's a
crickets.
reason that I mean, I know our family always prayed before dinner. You don't have to be religious, but the sitting down
I
and
mean,
just kind of
you can if you want
what
to be.
you can be, but like it doesn't have to be a religious thing. It can be a sit down and acknowledge your food and just goes back to what Marie was saying, like be thankful, celebrate it that you have it. And by doing that, they actually have shown that like it starts secreting the enzymes in your mouth that will start help breaking down the food. I know that gets into the nutrition, the science of it, but that's really important because if you start I'm excreting some stuff right now just thinking about what
I
I'm going to eat
don't.
after this podcast, which is probably too soon. But that can truly help your body say, okay, I'm about to eat. I'm about to rest and digest. I'm not about to run from whoever's hunting me. I get to
The
sit,
lion.
enjoy this, the lion in the
The
pride
lion
land,
roaming the pride lands.
because you took his animal from him. You took his zebra. Is that what they eat? I don't know.
Antelope?
Antelope. That sounds like something they would eat. So you found, you had a bow and arrow, you shot the antelope, and you got away from the lion. That is called survival of the fittest. So that'll be Marie one day. She'll be on one of those shows.
I should be, well, naked. What is it? What did you call it?
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and
Oh
Afraid.
my God, they also have a really trashy show on, I think it's MTV now. I think it's like
Ugh.
pawned off of it. I hate that channel, but it's like
I do too. What happened
naked
to
dating.
TRL?
What happened to music videos on music
I
television? What happened to them? I think they actually do still exist, but you have to watch them on YouTube. Which, if you're on YouTube, hop over to our YouTube channel on
You can
Marie.
find. Yeah, it's under my name. Here's the weird thing, and if anyone could help us out with this, I would really appreciate it. But so our YouTube channel and my Gmail is linked. So if I change my YouTube channel to say Nutrition Genius Radio, then it changes my email to say Nutrition Genius Radio. But so now it's basically just under Marie Bieber. So feel free to either look me up or you can search Nutrition Genius Radio because the title of each of them. Each of the episodes has that included in it. But
We'll tell our
I
assistant to do that for us.
yeah, right. But so if anyone could figure out how to unlink those or knows, please let us know because technologically challenged over here.
So, I think we touched on a lot of good topics. Then how do you decide it's time to eat? Is it just that you would eat vegetables right
You look
now?
up at the sky and say, "Hey, it's
Okay.
12:30. It's
But
I gotta go kill me some antelope."
so what if someone tells you, I wake up in the morning and I'm not hungry. What do we tell them to do then?
Don't eat. If you're don't eat if you're not hungry.
So I feel like I get that question a lot. And I think sometimes it's that you don't recognize hunger and maybe you ate too much the night before.
I think that that's typically what it is. If you're when you're eating the night before, you're eating too late the night before, and it happens to the best of us, but I'm not hungry when I wake up in the morning.
Right. And so I think but it's recognizing, okay, maybe you're not hungry the second you wake up. Maybe you're not hungry at night. Maybe you have a different rhythm than me and Marie, because maybe you wake up at the crack of dawn and it's 5:30, you're not hungry. But so maybe your breakfast isn't till 8:30 or 9. But the best way to do that is to pack appropriate food for whatever situation you're in. And when you are hungry, eat. And your boss, no matter where you are, should allow that. I mean, you need food to function. So, and don't feel bad. Someone said like once they felt bad about bringing like a can of sardines somewhere, which I've done it, and my office mates just had to deal with it. But the way I thought about it is, well, some of them are bringing in fried food, and I can't stand the smell of fried chicken. And I didn't complain, and no one else complained because they're like, oh, it smells so good. Well, to me, that doesn't smell good. So you're telling me that my canned sardines smell bad. Well, guess what? They don't smell bad to me. So it's just a matter of trying to, maybe if they can't handle it, go eat in your car with your friend. That's getting
With
bad.
fr
Bring a friend though. Don't do it by yourself because that's sad. And that's back to our not normal eating. But, and then how do you decide how much is just I would say, sit down, really slow down, chew your food, acknowledge your
Taste
food.
the flavors in your food. Like
Yes.
thinking about your food, smelling your food, like using all five of your senses to, well, I guess, hold on. Seeing, smell, taste, touch, like based on your tongue, I guess.
You
Don't
can
like
touch your
touch
food. There's nothing wrong
with
with
your
playing with
hand.
your food. I mean, if it becomes like really gross and you're throwing it at people, then that's not okay to play with it. But
What's the last sense?
what did you say?
Oh, hearing, hearing.
Well, if it's a
Helen
cricket,
Keller would be disappointed in me.
she would be. If it's a cricket, you'd probably hear it.
Okay, this is totally inappropriate, but I'm gonna say it
Oh,
anyways.
gosh.
Have you,
Oh, no.
on Twitter? I think it's under the real Helen Keller. Or hold
Oh,
on, it's Helen
I
Keller.
think I've heard of this.
I think I've probably sent it to you before.
Oh, no.
It's totally, totally, totally inappropriate, but
Maybe we
hilarious.
should just send a link to it, and those who want to click on it can.
Yes. It's like, just a lot of jokes about, I don't, I, okay, I should probably not do it off
We'll put a
topic.
link to it, and if you're someone who wants to venture off into that world of Helen Keller, by all
Okay,
means.
I'm gonna read one. Tomorrow may not be Black Friday for you, but it is for me. Every Friday is Black Friday for
Oh my
me.
God, that's awful. Well then, pray that you're not Helen Keller and that you can see your food,
Sorry.
and food
I
should
have
be
a twisted
beautiful.
sense of humor.
Food should be beautiful. It should be colorful.
It should.
It should have different textures. Unless you have some, which we've talked about in the last episode, unless you have some chewing or swallowing issues, then by all means, puree or soften your food so that you can chew and swallow it. But if you're someone who has great chompers, you got a great esophagus, you could esophagus, you can swallow, then
Stop. Who are you?
I don't know. It's the coffee talking. You know how that happens.
Yes.
Then you want different textures as well. So get on that. Eating should be
Yeah.
fun and beautiful. It should not come from a cardboard box of mush. And speaking of that, should we segue into our next segment? Or is there anything
Have
else
a
you wanted to
question.
add of the topic of the day?
No, I think that we covered pretty much everything. We'll get into, I think, surrounding regular meal times in these family meals is the concept of using of incorporating traditional foods into what we're eating, as opposed to, like, my friend and I had this discussion the other day. What is American food? So we were discussing different. We were actually at an Ethiopian restaurant, and which their food is delicious, by the way. So we're at this Ethiopian restaurant, and we were talking about, like, different types of, like, cuisines that we like. I had said something about one restaurant, and he asked me, like, oh, what kind of food do they serve there? And I was like, it's like American food. Like, and then we both kind of stopped, and we were like, what is American
What does
food
that even
really?
mean?
Funny thing was, so later that week I was driving and stopped at a stoplight, and it crossed as an A&W, and on the sign it said all American food, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's
That's
so
what American
true.
food is.
And it's so
Fried
sad.
grossness. It
So
is sad.
sad. But we're definitely going to get into, I think we can have a whole nother podcast on how to incorporate traditional foods
We're
and
gonna
really
need
what
one.
traditional foods are.
Yes.
So just for now, I
Hang
think
tight.
avoiding if it could potentially be considered an American food, you should probably avoid it.
Probably. So let's do a sweet brown real quick. Dun, 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 dun. So, in our segment of Ain't Nobody Got Time for That, Marie, what does Ain't Nobody Got Time for?
Oh shoot. Ain't
You want to ask me?
time for quote unquote healthy foods. Okay, so that sounded weird. Did we have a different term for it? I forget what
Healthy
we were.
labels.
Healthy labels. Okay, that's what I meant. So
Exactly what
if
you
you
meant.
have to be told on a label that this is healthy, it's probably not healthy. Like, if you need marketing in order to tell you vegetables don't have labels, okay? It's because they're delicious and they well, they're delicious, but they're also really good for you. And so they don't need labels to be like, hey, bro, check out all the phytochemicals I got over here. Look at all
Marie, you
these
are such a
vitamins.
bro.
They don't need that stuff because they're that good that they just don't need it.
Exactly.
So if you have to have a label that's telling you, oh, look at all my omega-3s, those omega-3s are probably rancid.
Amen. Had to get that amen in there. And I guess my other rant is like, I mean, come on, healthy choice? Are you kidding me? Is that really a healthy choice? I'm shouting. Sorry,
So, I
hurting
mean,
your
you
earbuds.
deserve to shout for that.
But think about it. Healthy choice is not a healthy choice. If it has to tell you that it's a healthy choice, it's not a healthy choice. Lean cuisine is telling you that it's a lean cuisine. First off, that stuff tastes gross and it's not a lean option. Please eat the fat. But seriously, like Marie said, if it's in a box, bag, package, can, whatever vehicle it wants to transfer in, chances are that it may not be good for you. So check the label and don't look at the front. The front is their marketing tactic. The front is how they make money off of you. Look at the back, turn it over, look at the ingredient list. We don't care about the calories. Look at the ingredients list. And if you can't name one of those ingredients, put it back. If it's more than 3 to 5 ingredients, put it back. Boom.
And if you don't believe that their marketing strategies have an effect on you, then read that book, Mindless Eating, because it'll show you how much they actually really do play into what you're buying.
And just walk down. I don't buy anything from this aisle, but walk down the cereal aisle. And
Ugh.
seriously, look at all the colors and shapes and textures that they are using to pull you in. And all of a sudden, if you just step back without looking to buy anything, just step back and look, I think you'll all be shocked. And just walk down the aisle and be like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what they're doing. And don't take your kids down the aisle
Oh my
because
God, I was just going to say, half of that marketing is aimed at your kids.
absolutely, because of all those the bright colors, the fun characters, the mascots. And as soon as your kid sees it, they want it, right? Because either they've seen it on TV, which is horrible, or they're like, oh, that's fun. That looks like my toys. It looks like something I want. You know, and they don't know any better, you know, and I think it's a shame that companies are allowed to market to kids because it's the
Right.
kids don't know better. And that's what parents are for.
Sorry, I didn't mean to like keep interrupting
That's
you.
okay. We get so heated.
I am really looking forward to the day, which I definitely think that this is coming in the near future, where marketing foods is no longer going to be allowed to be aimed at children, just like the same way that cigarettes can't be marketed to children. I definitely think that there's like this new food revolution, and the way that people are so obsessed with this idea of eating healthy. And that was actually another thing that they talked about in the Michael Pollan article, is that Americans are obsessed with eating healthy, and yet we're the least healthy country, like
It
as far
is
as chronic
so
disease
true.
is concerned.
Because we're more concerned about what the product, we're more concerned about smart balance that's telling us that it's smart and that it's healthy versus thinking about what our body actually can acknowledge and what our body can actually use and what's tasty. You know, I've only had one person ever tell me that they like margarine, and
Oh,
I'm
God.
pretty sure it was someone who thought that it's healthy. And I kid you not, it's someone who, when I was listening to her, I was like, you're not saying that because you actually think it's tasty. You're saying that because you want me to hear the right answer. And to
Right.
her, margarine was healthy. And that's what she's been taught. And I don't fault anyone for that because I was taught that too. But now it's like, we're giving you something new. We're giving you taste. We're giving you your taste back.
I
Take it
know.
back, America. Because obviously, all of America is listening.
They will be soon.
All right. So, is that all we got?
I mean, isn't that enough?
That
Dang.
is enough. We'll definitely link a bunch of the articles, and there's actually another cool thing from Michael Pollan. There's some really cool quotes if you're a quote person like me. And I think in there's something for like filling up 70% or whatever. Look in the
What do
show
you mean? So
notes. Leave your
oh.
comments. What?
You're talking about the. No, I was just confused what you were saying about the filling up 70%, and then I realized you
Oh.
were talking about the Asian culture.
Yes. And leave us comments and your thoughts on this. Definitely read that Michael Pollan article if you have some time. You know, when you're supposed to be doing work, this might be beneficial. Just saying. Don't tell your boss I said that.
And let us know what other topics you want us to cover. We have a whole list of them, but we would obviously rather provide you with the information that you're actually looking
Yeah,
for.
so send in your questions, just like Marie's ex-boyfriends last week.
Oh, speaking of questions,
Do we have one final one?
no, should we unveil the answer?
Oh, yes. It's going to be 2 weeks after the posting, but yes. So, Marie posed a joke 2 weeks ago on our carbs podcast. So, the joke was,
What do you do when a dietitian knocks on your door?
and the answer.
Vitamin.
Oh God, it's so great. It is so great. Vitamin.
Vitamin.
Love it. So I hope you all enjoyed that as much as we did.
If you want to hear more crappy dietitian jokes from us, you can find Laura at thesassydietitian.com, or you can find her at thesassyrd on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me at pearlsofnutrition.com, and you can find me at pearlonutrition on Instagram and Twitter.
Until next time,
Nutrition Geniuses out.
stay sassy.